I want to look at a firm foundation. And of course, you're familiar with the hymn, but I want to look at what really is a firm foundation, according to the scripture, at least the way I see it. But I do want to start with a Calvin and Hobbes, because this just fits perfectly into the message. Why do you suppose we're here? Because we walked here. No. I mean here on earth, because earth can support life. No, I mean, why are we anywhere? Why do we exist? Because we were born. Forget it. I will, thank you. All right, now this next question, what do these things have in common? This is not an easy answer, and it's probably only one that I could possibly get because I put it together. You probably won't get it, but here, we'll give it a try. It's three scriptures. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. Psalm 100, verse 3. A prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Proverbs 22:3. Now, then Jesus used this illustration. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's taking up space we can use for something else." What do you think those three have in common? Yes, they're all in the Bible. I will take that one off. Kind of tough, isn't it? It's like only in the mind of Dave. Okay. Foundational truths. Actions and consequences. That first verse, it says, he made us, we are his, and it tells us to acknowledge him. It doesn't change the facts. He made us, but we are to acknowledge him. That takes a process. It takes a realization on our part. The second one, there's two pieces to it. When we see danger, we should take precautions. And it says a prudent person will do this. Well, do we come out of the womb as a prudent person? Not usually. And then that other verse, or it's the same one in Proverbs, says act like a simpleton and you're going to suffer the consequences. Well, if you don't want to suffer bad consequences, you're not going to act like a simpleton, right? So if you get from being a simpleton to being something else, something has occurred in your life. And then this last one from this parable that Jesus tells. I've waited 3 years, and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's taking up space we can use for something else. So all of these, there must be growth. Growth is a must. You must grow to recognize and acknowledge God. You must grow to be a prudent person. You must grow not to be a simpleton. And the illustration of the fig tree, you need to grow and bear fruit, or the gardener may just take you out. Now, I have been here almost 3 years. Come October, because of the way that you counted it, I was preaching here first Sunday of October. It might have even been the last Sunday of September. And then actually became your pastor officially November. But it's almost 3 years. Well, what's happened in these 3 years? Now, people have heard about Jesus. And they've heard about Jesus in very creative ways. In fact, because of the last planning session we did 2 years ago, we have an electronic presence out there that is pretty good because of the help of many of you, and particularly Sheila. We get on Facebook. Marty is running the cameras back here remotely, and he's taping it, and we're on Facebook, all right? We also put our sermons on the radio. So you could have heard us on WTIM this morning. And so people are hearing about Jesus. Now, it's harder to know the results from the electronic presentation of the gospel, but we're reaching many, many, many more people than are just here in our sanctuary. I would say people have become more like Jesus. Many of you have read completely through the Bible, and you hadn't done that before. And so we did that, and we're about to finish our second read-through. At the end of August, we'll have read all the way through the Bible a second time for those of you that are participating. So you can't help but come closer to Jesus. And I pray that the programs of the church, the Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, are helping you to be discipled to be more like Jesus. Storms of life have been weathered, and we've weathered them together. Different situations have occurred, and we've shared those together, and we've shared them as a Christian body. Mistakes, obviously, we are not prone to not have mistakes. It's a human condition. Mistakes have been made, they've been confessed, and I pray that they've been forgiven. Our community has grown. We've not only grown spiritually because of the read through the Bible, but I can look and see, there's somebody who's in our congregation that didn't used to be. There's somebody in our congregation that didn't used to be. There's somebody in our congregation that didn't used to be. And we have others. Now, life changes, so people go away, too. Don's child, the adopted child that came here for a while, has moved back to where they were, a very young family. But things do change, but our community in some ways has grown, and people come and they go. But overall speaking, when Wanda's back, it's even nicer because she is one of those people that has flown off to Colorado to be with her children. And we all understand that. But then the big question for us is, will growth continue? Will spiritual growth continue? That's primary. But it's also important that growth continue in this manner. Do numbers count? Well, God named a book of the Bible Numbers. And he told us all about the numbers of Israel as they were coming out of the Exodus. So I think that it does count, and we want to see growth. God wants to see growth, not only in you spiritually, but he wants to see us spreading the gospel. He wants to see the vineyard growing. You know, if the fig tree isn't producing fruit, he's going to cut it down. And he's going to replace it with something that will produce fruit. Scott mentioned the passage out of Luke where the vine dresser was pruning vines. So there's things that are being cut. Why are they being cut? They're being cut for further growth, greater fruit production. So God wants to see fruit. Fruit can be described in many different ways, but two of those obviously are spiritual growth and numerical growth in the kingdom. So new people coming to know Jesus Christ. We had, and this book that I've given to those that are going to the planning retreat talks about seven effective ways of ministry. And it talks about a win. And how do you define a win? I will tell you, I see it as a win whenever we see the sanctuary basically full. And we have people from all over the community. What was our biggest win recently? Obviously, it was Bible school. We have one child who is of Bible school age, and yet we had an average of 35 children here every night, Monday through Friday during the Bible school. Well, how's that happen? We've got one child in our church, but 35 came. And then Friday night's program, the whole sanctuary was filled with their families. That's pretty cool. All right? That's a win. Because we invited the community in and they came. They brought their children and entrusted them to us for 5 days. And this sanctuary, this whole church was a hopping. And I was up here acting like a complete village idiot, except he had no village because I was stranded on an island. Okay? But it was fun and it was wonderful and it was life. It just breathed life into us. Well, how can we make that kind of win happen every Sunday? Another good win was the Friday night sing. And you beat the bushes, and a lot of people came out. Good music was heard. Again, the community came into the church, and they were here. Your pastor wasn't. He had a headache. He took a pill. He didn't wake up till you were already doing things. Okay? Because I'd have been here anyway, but headache or not. But that's another win. And as this planning committee goes, we're going to be looking at how can we define the wins for our church, because everybody likes to be on a winning team. And I want you to be on a winning team. And I want us to be making wins for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God as we move forward. It makes you feel good, and it's being obedient to God. All right? So Calvin asked, why are we here? Why do we exist? Well, I'll give you some suggestions. One is to provide community. And the scripture I chose, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Okay, we always hear that in the context of marriage, and rightly so. Adam, when Eve showed up, it was like, vah, 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 boom, way to go, God. Okay? So that was a huge thing. But you know what? When we can have community at the church, it's not the same, but it's similar. Now, you can laugh alone if you're watching something on television or you read a good book. It's not the same, though, is it? And yet you can get together with friends and you can laugh and you can laugh and the community becomes stronger. Your relationship becomes stronger. And what is community other than relationship? It's relationship with others. Well, Randy Frazee has written a book called Making Room for Life, and he has this to say about community. The development of meaningful relationships where every member carries a significant sense of belonging is central to what it means to be the church. This is a God-ordained gathering of people that is so strong that even the gates of hell will not overcome it. Well, amen to that. Now, Andy Stanley has a book called Creating Community. And many of you are familiar with Charles Stanley and Andy, his son. And this book that we're looking at for this retreat is from North Point Church, which is where Andy Stanley is. Andy Stanley talks about community as that they need to be strong in this manner. Communities so satisfying, so unique, and so compelling that they create thirst in a watching world. It was interesting that Friday night at the program, when I mentioned to everybody that we love your children and we are here for you and your family, and it was really quiet. Because the implication was, we may not be here unless we have participation from your families. And afterwards, a couple people talked to me and said some things regarding that, about basically the value of this church and what it means. So we have something, you have an unbelievable tradition of a great Bible school. And you haven't let go of that. Well, praise God for that, because it filled the church. It's an environment that is there to invite the community in. We want to look for more opportunities like that. And that's something that we're going to be discussing at this retreat. Another purpose isn't just to provide community, but it's to provide, it's to be the body. And what I mean by that is to minister. All right? I may be the mouth for the church, okay? And yeah, I've got a big one. But the mouth can't do certain things. It can only do basically one thing, which is share a message. It eats, but that's not what I'm talking about, okay? And mine does a good job at that. But it shares a message. But I can't go out there if I'm only a mouth and I don't have hands and feet. The body ministers as it works together, as the body. Then it can really be the full person, if you will, of our church to reach out to those. Yes, share a message about Jesus Christ, but also put together all those amazing things that we had here at Bible school. Teach. The mouth can't be everywhere at one time, but there are several mouths in here. And they can teach. And there are hands that can build things. And there are hands that can love people and give hugs. And those kids knew that week that they were very much loved and they were very much welcomed here at the church. Because the body was ministering. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. We must unify ourselves in such a way that we act as one body, reaching out with a predetermined set of wins that we are looking toward that progress a person toward a relationship with Jesus Christ. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has plans for this body that he planned an eternity ago. And he calls us his masterpiece. Masterpiece. A masterpiece is pretty awesome. It causes people to go, oh, and that's you. That's us working together as the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? Well, why are we here? Why do we exist? Continuing the thought, part of it is to grow. You saw the verses. All they had in common was growth. We want to recruit, but we also want to mature. Their responsibility, and Paul is writing this to the Ephesian church, and he is talking about leaders in the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. That's one of our goals, obviously. Is that we mature to the full stature of Jesus Christ. That we grow up, we mature, and we become like our Lord. Now, also along with that, though, if we're a healthy church, we will be multiplying. You know, the human body grows from an infant on up. Unfortunately, as an adult, sometimes we grow this way. And I'm not really talking about that because we want to grow healthy, all right? But that means bringing more and more people and then taking the little people that come and helping them mature into adults, but also taking the minor Christians, if you will, and helping them mature into adult Christians or mature Christians. Now, we also want to witness, but don't forget that we are being witnessed. People are watching us all the time. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see, don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. So as we shine for Jesus Christ, it gives glory to God. So as we shine at Bible school, as we shine at this community sing that we did, we are shining for Jesus Christ to a larger community. Sometime, like the sing, it's to probably a bigger portion of the body of Christ. But we're shining. We're giving them a chance to worship with us. We're actually being unified with those people who are also Christians that aren't necessarily part of this fellowship. At Bible school, we have a chance to reach out even further. Now, 2/3 of those children attend a church, but 1/3 of them don't. We invited them to come and become a part of us. We want to continue to find ways to create those environments that make those people happy to come. And when they see this glowing, vibrant light, well, they want to come and they want to be a part of who we are. And who we are is the representatives, the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this. This is right from Ecclesiastes. Here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is the duty of every person. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Now, the truth is, for Christians, our sins have been covered. They've been taken care of by Jesus Christ's blood. But I would like a large reward in heaven. How about you? So there will be a judging even of the good and the amount of good that has been done. We don't talk about it a lot because we're always concerned about salvation. And that doesn't depend on our works. It depends on our faith. But our works are important. And the good that we do will be judged. And I just pray that when we are judged, for myself, that I have enough to stand before the Lord and at least get a shack. Okay? And then maybe I'll be next to the mansion that Lyle gets. Okay? We're going to be away. We're going to be planning. Pray for us, so that we can come back with something that's beneficial. Out of the last planning session came an extremely advanced form of modern communication that reaches way far beyond these walls. What will come out of this one? I don't know. But I know it will be better if the body here is praying for the body there. Will you do that?